Hi, and welcome to the pool party. It's Jules, and today we have a solo episode on a topic that is really near and dear to me: health and mental wellness. This is a creative entrepreneurial podcast. One thing that I think is so heavily overlooked in the creative process is our own well-being, how we take care of ourselves and create from a place of already being well. Some of you may know me as a fitness instructor. I am certified in teaching Legree, which is a form of bodybuilding on a mega former. I'm also certified in two types of yoga, Sculpt and Yin. Aside from teaching group fitness, during my time at Stanford, I studied urban studies. That was my bachelor's, and I became particularly interested in this broader concept of social wellness, community, and belonging. I think this is a hot topic these days because many people are quite lonely. I think we live in a self-obsessed culture that sometimes forces people to alienate themselves and totally neglect their social well-being. Some of my intuition is right, some of it's wrong, but I like to think that a lot of my inferences come from years of study and recognizing patterns in real time. To be clear, I'm not a doctor of any kind, and I do have a really good understanding of anatomy and the foundational components of the body. Typically, I like to learn by listening to podcasts from specialists in fields that are more ingrained in day-to-day research than I am. I am so stoked to talk about wellness today because I have been spending a lot of time teaching boutique fitness classes. I teach Legree, which is a method derived from Pilates but is not Pilates. It's pretty slow. It focuses a lot more on tension over time and slow movements that are very intentional. It's an efficient workout. It's given me a lot to think about in terms of how I teach my clients, the habits people have in their daily life. The way this intersects with creativity is coming back to the basics of the body and how we treat ourselves as a project, like we are our own art project. But also, I find that when we create from a place of wellness, the work that we make tends to be stronger. I think people who create work from a place of wellness inspire other people to be well. And there's a lot of art that's been made over the past few decades and centuries by people who are not well or addicted to drugs, alcohol, or severely sleep deprived. Personally, while I think the trope of the tortured artist is popular, I don't think it's healthy. And I don't think that that's something to emulate. I think that it's possible to make really good work and still be a healthful person. I also think it's better for society when we achieve within a certain standard of health, so that other people don't think you have to become unwell in order to reach success. I also think that in today's world, especially a post-COVID world, there are a lot of tools and research-backed ways of aiding your health that are actually super expensive and maybe out of the range of what the average person can afford. Like I mentioned, I teach boutique fitness classes. I love spending money on my health. I like investing in myself. I don't think this is something you should do at the expense of your financial health. Foundational habits are probably going to take you a lot further than buying a Whoop or an Oura Ring or any of those fitness trackers. One of the best things you can do for yourself is get really good sleep, stay hydrated, and get some movement in your body. If I can move my body 4 to 5 times a week, some variation of high intensity workouts with long walks, that's usually what helps me feel the best. And I'm speaking as someone who has worked very normal jobs. I've worked 9 to 5s from home, and truly the only way I got through the year 2021 was by doing maybe like 3 YouTube workout videos a day, just so I could be in my body, get out of my head, and look away from a screen, or at least explore different movements in my body. I'm going to tell you a story about times I was unhealthy. There are different times in our lives where sometimes we can't keep up routines. I'm someone who likes to take risks. I travel a lot. And one of the reasons why I don't really love routines is because a lot of routines are based around cues that are environmental. Let's say that like you go to a friend's house and you wake up there. You might be staying at that friend's house for 2 weeks, but you're still going to want to engage in healthy habits. Being able to engage in healthy habits without having precise control over every single aspect is important. So this is something I learned in this book called Habits, and I can't remember the author, but I'll link the book. This is something I read when I was 17. There's this idea that you have keystone habits, and certain actions you do are connected to visual cues. Maybe they're sensory cues. Maybe you have a cue where you wake up every day at 7 a.m. You see your shoes by the door, and that cue is to put on your socks and go for a run. I love those when you have a predictable format of life, or know that you want to engage in a certain habit more and set yourself up for success. But what I find is sometimes people can get into this perfectionist wheel where if they can't do those things, let's say that whatever reason, we live in a world where things change a lot. Are you still going to get your exercise in? The challenge is still engaging in healthy habits without always having those visual cues and reminders. They certainly help, but it's also good to remember that the goal isn't perfectionism and this absolutely curated schedule is like perfectly made so that you do the next right thing, but it helps, right? So going back to a time where I was unhealthy, I think I've actually been quite healthy for a lot of my life. I attribute this to both of my parents being still really healthy and growing up with a lot of information about basic healthcare, hygiene, and also education around fitness and moving my body. But when I went to college in my late teens and early 20s, I was on my own, like many people. Probably gave myself way too much to do. And in the pursuit of maximizing my time, I sometimes would only sleep 6 hours a night, wouldn't eat that much, and also drank way more caffeine than any healthy human should probably drink in a day. One time I was living in New York in my early 20s, and I was freelancing, working in 2 restaurants. I sometimes didn't have enough time to buy groceries, or would only eat at the restaurant I worked at. One of these restaurants was a Italian brunch spot where the only food they really made in the morning were cornettos, which is an Italian croissant, and that's flour and butter. I remember one time I was so jacked up on caffeine and running around the city that I realized the only thing I'd eaten over the course of 3 days were a bunch of cornettos, and I was feeling pretty ill. What that kind of diet does to you physically, the way I felt was really run down. And I didn't really have energy to change that pattern until literally the pandemic happened, and it forcefully interrupted that really unfortunate routine I had. So I see that now as a good correction. And I spent a lot of time on this podcast this past year trying to contextualize feelings of creative burnout and some of the decisions we make from a place of risk-taking or desperation. I think it's a fine line at times. And ultimately, I think it's important to remember that everything is a small experiment. And if we have the willingness to try again, we can take the results from all of our experiments and craft a life that we actually enjoy, that cares for us, and that we want to live. And so that is where my whole philosophy for health and wellness comes from. And I think that it's also come at the expense of a lot of things that I once thought I wanted, which includes living in a big city. A lot of these things that maybe I think I was conditioned to want and associate with success from a really young age. And if we just go back to this central idea of creativity and how people oftentimes think that it should flow naturally, I think that a lot of creative people actually get into flow state most easily when they continue to show up for practice and have a ritual around how they respect their work. I think there are a few components of creating work and wellness that are similar. There are four: environment, mindset, relationships, and then obviously the body. Starting with environment and talking about this larger topic of work, it's no surprise that I'm an unconventional worker. I do not think that working in a modern office are good job choices for me. I'm entrepreneurial. I like to do my own work. And the reason is not because I can't or won't do hard things. In fact, I think I'm actually a little bit too good at doing hard things. I think there are a lot of structures that are pretty outdated in the modern office. I think this leads to unhealthy habits, like sitting down for 4 hours, 8 hours a day. I don't really think that's the key to longevity. I had to go to the chiropractor a lot last year because I worked a job for 6 months where I was basically just glued to a chair. I also think that being in an office where you're around the same people most days is not healthy human social behavior. And then even people who work in remote environments oftentimes experience FOMO, the fear of missing out, and loneliness. Depending on what kind of job you work, everyone's different. But for me, these are things I just know about myself, I've learned over the years. I had to get really honest about what a healthy working environment looks like for me. You can call it ADHD or whatever. I'm someone who actually works best when I can focus on a priority for an hour or two in a day and then shift to something physical or taking care of my needs. Modern employee boss relationships don't really work for me, and that's just something I've learned about myself. I think environment is really important, and outside of work, it's the people you surround yourself with the most. I teach fitness classes, and I find that I take the classes too, and I like seeing improvement over time, and I prove to myself through showing up to fitness classes that I can get better and stronger. And not only is it satisfying for me, it's satisfying when I see other people improve when I'm teaching classes. The second piece is about mindset. And I love a growth mindset. I like believing that I can change and adapt over time. I also think you can't just think your way to a better future. You have to take small action steps, but it helps if you're not shaming yourself or hating yourself. I genuinely think that's really hard to do. It can really only get you so far. Like when I was younger, middle school, I used to achieve out of spite. That's actually probably how I got into Stanford. I would just think about all like the times people bullied me. And I went to middle school in the 2010s. I had a very traditional middle school experience, and I wasn't very confident. I had a lot of social anxiety. And if you didn't talk a lot back then, people would just start talking at you and making fun of you. That used to really hurt me. I hope people don't do that these days. I would think about that sometimes when I'd study, and I would just think about being better than the person who called me names. I think that only took me so far. And then I realized that there are some pure forms of motivation and intrinsic effort other than just trying to be better than those around you. I think it's good to have intrinsic motivation because you just won't be the best in your environment all the time. And if you are surrounding yourself around the most talented people, it's truly hard to be number one at everything. I think it's good to be satisfied at times with where you're at or set realistic goals for yourself based upon what you personally want to achieve. I noticed while I was at Stanford, and I talk about this a lot because I think it's a very particular environment. I think that it is a really exclusive, prestigious university, and it brings out very interesting social dynamics in people who go there. Over 4 years, I definitely noticed people who wanted to compete with their peers almost to a very egoic extent, and sometimes that would cause them to lightly bully or harshly. And I actually take pride in friendliness and kindness even among top performers, and I think you can do both to encourage others and also be amazing at what you do. It's just a personal opinion of mine that I think people who are kind and top performers and encouraging are a little bit better than the people who are jerks. You can only really get so far by alienating people to the point where you eventually need help, and then who's going to help you? So I think friendliness wins in that case. And maybe that's a little bit of mindset. Maybe that's a little bit of relationships. Let's go ahead and get into the third point, relationships. One of the best ways to get out of your own head is to be in relationships with other people. This is tricky because when you are actively engaging in a relationship with another person, it shows you all the things that you believe about yourself and what you're worthy of as well. A lot of people play out their earlier relationships that they've had with like their mother, their father, their attachment styles, like with their partners. And I think also people have different beliefs around authority and how they should act around customers, for example, versus their boss. I think that this is one of the most tricky aspects of emotional intelligence to get down. As a woman, I've seen people treat me vastly different ways based upon how I look, knowing nothing about my brain and its contents. That to me is deeply disappointing when it happens. When it does, I know that's a space where I can't flourish and I simply won't. I try to form relationships with people who have a willingness to learn and grow, but also enough open-mindedness to know that they probably don't know everything, that I don't know everything. I'm just a person, and a lot of times I'm not trying to be right. I'm just trying to get through the day. I think that is one of the most human things. A variety of relationships is also great to take off pressure from the romantic relationships that we seem to put so much pressure on in society. And like the more relationships among different scales of intensity, like casual, professional, it helps us know a little bit more about ourselves and how we want to interact with the world. I also think people have a better understanding of the world when they're actually talking to people in person versus just like forming snap judgments based upon what they see in the media. So let's talk a little bit about the body. I think that if you truly enjoy the work you're doing and it's sustainable, your body will let you know. What's the difference between working hard and also pushing yourself through an activity that you really dislike repeatedly? Working hard towards an end you like can be really satisfying and a relief. Drudge work, stuff that's draining you, is thankless. It doesn't ever really feel like there's an end. It gives you that feeling that maybe this isn't right. And then if you're going through that loop in your head of constantly analyzing and examining how things went, that to me is like usually a sign where I probably need to make a change. I'm not saying friction is bad, but too much friction constantly at the expense of your mental freedom and ability to enjoy life is not healthy. This eventually manifests in the body and illnesses. One of the things I had to learn over the years was to not only talk to myself in a way that was kind, but also understand that if something was causing me discomfort, there was probably a reason for that. I didn't always have to know exactly, but finding a way to change my personal habits, my environment, or my relationships to get to a place of more ease was possible. Life didn't always have to be on hard mode. These are just some perspectives I have on the environment, mindset, relationships, and the body, and how all these things can be used towards moving towards a path of wellness. Honestly, my mode of operating these days is simplicity. I do not really listen to most advice when it comes to work or finances or health from other people, because I've been able to get to a place that works for me based upon what I know. Sometimes people are really well-meaning, but they can only give information based on their own experiences. I think that was a hard lesson I had to learn growing up. Rejection they face early on in life. I think we have to take each day as it comes and still have the willingness to try and take a risk to connect with people, and then also still radically take care of ourselves and flourish. I do think it's possible. I think it's even easier when we just simplify and remove some of the noise. For me, I have a really simple schedule lately. I teach fitness classes. I study. I do this podcast. These are all things that I've learned give me energy and make me excited about living life. When I was building and working for someone else, I felt like I was throwing away a lot of my knowledge sometimes. Obviously, I still work for other people in certain contexts, but I do it in a way that is up to my own standards. I do it on my own terms, if that makes sense. I also love teaching in the gym space because people are on time. People are usually in the mindset to do better. You can't fake it in the gym space. You either put in the work or you don't. And I love timeliness. I am someone who really respects my own time and the time of others. And one thing I no longer put up with is tardiness, people who don't respect timelines, because it adds up. Ultimately, I'm just waiting for someone else to figure their stuff out when I could have moved on to the next thing. That's a tough one because everyone moves at their own pace, but I also think sometimes people only learn if they have to do things by themselves. That's something I've learned about how I spend my time. And maybe that's more tangential on this topic of wellness, but I think I just spent a lot of time over these past few years just thinking way too much about other people, the roles I played in their life. And when I removed all of that away, I wasn't really thinking enough about how I can make my own life interesting and drama-free. I think that snuck up on me at times where I was in relationships I really cared about, but sometimes the gossip or the drama gets so addicting. I think there's a difference between holding people accountable within group settings and truly caring about people, and this other side where it's like, Jersey Shore, people are addicted to just living their life. It's reality TV, but it's not. We don't get paid for this. We just lose. That is something that I tend to steer away from. I'm prioritizing my peace in day-to-day life. I like it when things run smoothly. I know that they can't always. So that's why I think it's important to keep it simple, take care of myself, my body, how I'm doing, and know that the rest will take care of itself from there. So that is my little episode on health and wellness today. there's so much more I could talk about when it comes to this topic. And this is also just like a little blueprint of how I think and how I see the world. But I thought it would be nice to do this because it is a bit more intimate. I am even considering lately what I do for work and the type of services I want to offer, because I'm realizing that some of them just don't light me up or make me happy like they used to. I love art and design, but I don't really love client work. It's not like I don't love working with people, I do. It's just the context of which graphic design work is oftentimes done in has become so complex. I think just starting from the foundation of what makes me feel well helps me build a life that I want to live. That is where I'm trying to create my work from now. And there are many ways to be creative that aren't necessarily purely visual art or a certain type of work. And to me, I'm willing to be flexible in my pursuit of expression as opposed to rigid to a detriment. All right, let me know your thoughts. I would also love to hear how you see health and wellness fitting into your life. Maybe I'll do another episode on talking more about the body and habits, but I think that it comes down to mindset a lot of times. If we can just focus on the simple things, take care of ourselves, everything else falls into place.